everyone, and welcome into the Talking Puck Podcast. Tom Callahan, Mike Haynes here for your audio entertainment. Please follow us on Twitter at Callahan on Air. Mike is at Buster the Dog 33, and you can listen and see Mike and I, if your eyeballs can stand it, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Twitch and on YouTube, Talking Puck TV. Mike, we've been doing this for a while now. It's
really like tuning in to watch Brad Pitt and George Clooney do a show when you tune in on a Sunday night, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's two dashing young blades.
Oh, just handsome, just cutting the... A nice swath, that's for
eloquent,
sure.
Eloquent, always.
Never make a mistake. And if you want to learn something, that's your night. You want to tune in.
Even if it's what not to do sometimes. There you go. Oh,
that's right. That's right.
But we do. We have a blast doing the show on Sunday nights, and we hope you can be there with us again. That's on both Twitch and YouTube. Look for Talking Puck TV. We do the show live, and we're getting back to doing our podcast here this week. So now we've talked some issues, we've talked some bigger picture things, but now, Mike, it's time to talk about some teams.
Hammer some teams.
Oh, what is going on in Edmonton? The Oilers struggling. And so they played the Rangers to start the week, and it was the only game that was available that night because the other two have been postponed, as you've heard us talk about on a previous podcast. So I watched that game because it was what there was. And Edmonton, just to me... Now, the Rangers are playing really well. Don't take anything away from the Rangers. But Edmonton is struggling. They're not scoring goals. They're not getting the power plays, let alone are they scoring on the power play, which their power play has dried up. But to me, the problem has always been with Edmonton, and I don't think it's coaching. I don't think it's Dave Tippett, but I think it is a lack of quality goaltending, and... the defense just isn't there and hasn't been there, and yet Edmonton, when they continue to draft high, continues to draft these offensive superstars who are great players, don't get me wrong, but they have no defense, and they have no goaltending, and so now in this stretch, the numbers they put up during this Rangers game just stuck with me so hard. They're a goal a game worse against, but their scoring hasn't picked up, and basically, the analysis on it is, in the beginning, Edmonton, during that great stretch, was just simply outscoring everyone. They were still not good defensively, still not good in net, but they were scoring more goals than anybody else. And now they're not doing it, and they can't win.
And they're doing a lot on the power play, too, weren't they?
Right, I thought right.
Their power play was just, here's a couple thoughts. First of all, the biggest question I thought in the NHL last summer was, why didn't the Edmonton Oilers do something about the goaltending?
They signed Mike Smith to a 2-year deal.
Oh, that's right. They did exactly what you wanted them to do.
Yeah.
So what? But why not? That just is the biggest mystery to me. There are guys certainly who've forgotten more about hockey than I'll ever know that are making these decisions. It does. I don't understand it. You start with that, and then. I love their. They had to spend. It cost them, but they got Duncan Keith up there, and I thought that's a good move. You're bringing a guy. I don't know how much miles he's got left, but what a great influence he could be. Seems to be a good person. You get him in the locker room, work with younger guys, teach him how to win. I'm a big believer in that, and that seemed like a perfect scenario. But boy, the defense is still terrible. And here's the thing, Connor McDavid is the best player. Dreisaitl's right there with him. And they got off to that great start, but the coaches in the NHL are smart. They, you know what, you're going to get some points just because you're so good, but they're going to find ways to stop and thwart you. And it's difficult to score in the NHL, even as talented as you are, if you're McDavid or Dreisaitl. And when you got good coaching against you and players who are willing to really do whatever they can to stop you, there's going to be nights that's going to happen. And that's when you've got to rely on good goaltending and defense and get some help from other lines to chip in. And that's what they don't have right now.
You know, Mike, as you said, too, the power play was a big thing for this Edmonton team. Teams are staying out of the box against them. And no matter how hard you work, if a guy's not willing to hook or haul you down and... maybe they're willing to let you have that real-time game action scoring chance versus hauling a guy down just trust your goalie to make the save and not give the team a 2-minute power play where they are deadly on that power play. But mm-hmm. teams are figuring that out too. If you limit them to one or two power play chances a night, yep. even if they go 1-for-2, okay, that's one goal you've given up. So as opposed to giving them 5 a night and they go 3-for-5. So it's mm-hmm. a completely different, it's almost like, well, you know, you have to respect that, but you're right. Coaches are smart. Players are smart too. They figure out ways to get around these situations yeah. and play it a little different. And look, Edmonton is struggling. Smith came back for one game, went right back out, and I still don't think he's the answer. I mean, as I've said, he's a China doll. He's always hurt. He's going to miss time in a year, and that's just the way it is. So, you know, and the, again, to go back to the game against the Rangers on Monday, the only healthy goalie they have is Koskinen, and then they had a kid with zero NHL experience backing him up. And right now, if you're Edmonton, that's not good. They let Laurent Brossoit go, who was a good, capable backup, but now he's with Vegas. They could use him right now. They're married to that Koskinen contract because even though it's not super high dollars, it's still a bad deal for what you're getting out of Koskinen. That was a bad one to sign. No one's going to take Smith, and it's a 2-year deal for Mike Smith now as opposed to the goodness. 1 year of last year. Good. So that's your tandem for next year too. It's Koskinen and Smith, unless Smith retires, which I don't think will happen. So it's not going to improve anytime soon for Edmonton.
And I'm repeating myself, but I need to say it again. You're wasting the peak years of Connor McDavid.
Yep.
Ages 24 to 27. That's your best years in the NHL. And you are going to throw those away with McDavid unless you figure out your defense and goaltending. That's criminal, isn't it? It's guys who are the best player in the league should have an opportunity to display that during the playoffs, because nothing is more fun for fans to watch. You get people tuning in just because it's the playoffs. And also it just makes for a better game when the best player is playing in the playoffs. And it's a shame. It's too bad if they're going to waste this. And you wonder, who's the fall guy? Is Dave Tippett, their head coach, he's going to be the fall guy? I think I just read a stat. Since I'm trying to think of how long you go back, is it maybe 2010? You know what team has changed the coach more than any other team?
Well, I think the answer is Edmonton
Oilers. It is Edmonton. So now do you do it again? Boy, oh boy.
You know what? It's funny, Mike. You read my mind. For me to put a bow on this Edmonton situation, it's perfect mm-hmm. because I don't think it's Dave Tippett's fault, but Dave Tippett will take the fall. Yeah. So, because you can't, as they say, you can't fire the players. You could fire the GM. You could fire mm-hmm. the front office. But you know what? And you're right. There's no continuity in Edmonton, even among coaches. So, yeah, I think it's unfortunate. And I think Tippett's going to end up being the guy that does get the axe for it. And I don't know.
All right, I got a good question for you.
All right.
If the Oilers don't make the playoffs this year, if you're Connor McDavid, do you say, I know I signed the long-term deal, but I'm going to pull a Jack Eichel and I want out of here?
Could you imagine?
Yeah, I can.
Oh.
Yes, I can, Tom.
I mean, I can too, but.
I can too. That'll be really frustrating. If they don't make the playoffs and you're Connor McDavid, first of all, you didn't get to go display your wares at the Olympics this year.
Right.
So it's another 4 years before you get a chance. And by that, you're 30 years old, right? You're close to it. You're getting close. So, and are you the best player then still? I don't know. So, yeah, boy, I don't know. I don't know. That's just something to think about.
It is. And it's, wow. Oh, that would set the world on fire if McDavid wanted out of Edmonton. But,
right. Oh, what would you have? What? Could you imagine the teams lining up? Would you give up anything to get that guy right now? He is the best player in the league, and he's at the peak of his time right now.
He will pick his destination too. Absolutely pick his destination.
Well, can he? I don't know what his contract says. I don't know.
Here's the other thing to consider, Mike. I don't either off the top of my head, but I'm sure he's got some sort of no trade control. Mm-hmm. But out of that, who could afford him? So he may say, I want to go to Vegas. Vegas is going to struggle as it is to even bring in Eichel when he returns to the lineup. And I know we had a question in our Talking Puck TV on Sunday night about Vegas and its cap situation. They're over the cap by $9 million, Jack Eichel's rough salary. It's like nine and change, nine and a half-ish. So my theory is Vegas is going to end up having to make a trade, probably Riley Smith, who's in the last year of an expiring contract with a $5 million cap hit. They'll be able to bring back Eichel at that point with a little bit of juggling. They got rid of some money when they traded Alex Tuck to the Sabres. I think he was in the $3 million range. So they've cleared some of the decks to be able to make that happen. But Vegas, and by the way, Vegas is playing very well, even though they're not 100% healthy. They're healthier and playing better. They're getting better. Anaheim appears to be for real at this point, and the kids are carrying Anaheim. Calgary is solid, great coaching, and great goaltending right now. Los Angeles and San Jose are sticking around. Vancouver's playing so much better under Boudreaux. This thing we're talking about, Edmonton falling out of the playoffs, I could see it happening. It is a very real possibility the Oilers don't make it.
Absolutely. And then he's with the, and McDavid's with the Rangers next year, if the league had their say. Yeah.
You don't think if
let's say McDavid goes, that's it. I've had it. I want to get out of here. Don't you think the league wants him to go to a big time place? Boston, Philly, New York. You got to go somewhere where it's where you're the guy. You know who would love to have him? Pittsburgh. Mm. You're coming. You've went through Lemieux. Now you're done with Crosby. Here's your next guy. How much would they salivate over that?
They would love that, but that's it. He'll end up in Florida with the Panthers.
But that's not where Carolina.
Yep. And I love those teams. I love watching those teams. I think they're two of the best teams in the NHL right now.
That's not where the league would want him to go, though.
No. I mean, going to Florida?
How about Arizona?
That's not a team he's picking.
No, but I mean, I could see you go, okay, Florida's a good team. I'll go down there and it's warm weather and it's a great place to live.
No income tax, you know.
But I don't have to wear a mask anymore. So I mean, but the league's going, hey, let's think big time here. Anyway, just something to think about.
That would be I don't pretend. All to right, know.
This is our show in a microcosm, Tom. We've already put McDavid on. Another
He's on the trade block. He's on the trade block.
That's what you heard it here first.
That's it. So this is what we do here, folks. We innovate, and then 6 months from now, we will indeed go, I told you so.
That's right.
To an obscure podcast that not everybody heard. So that's fine. We're fine with that. But you're right. I mean, if a team could afford him, they would try to ship him there to a market that either needs a huge boost, Buffalo, or... you remember his face at the draft when he didn't go to Buffalo and he knew, found out he was going to Edmonton, and everybody's like, this tells you everything you need to know? I mean...
But you know what the problem was, in a sense, that at his first year, they had success.
Yeah.
And then he signed the big deal.
Yeah.
You know, then he signed the long term. He signed that 8-year deal. If I was his agent, wouldn't you have signed a bridge and just gone, look, this guy, I don't know. They get easy to look back on it. But anyway, all right, we already have McDavid playing for somebody else next year.
Okay, so he'll be traded. Edmonton doesn't make the playoffs. So I think I'm going to go ahead and say I think Vancouver is the team that overtakes in the Pacific.
I think, Boo, I'm with you. You know what? I don't like to agree with you.
That's true.
I will on this one. Boudreaux is going to get that team into the playoffs, I think. As long as their goaltending stays healthy. I think that he can push and prod and poke them to squeak in the playoffs. That is, if Edmonton doesn't solve, if they don't make a deal somehow for a decent goaltender, I can see Vancouver slipping in there.
Yeah,
number four.
They need to make somebody eat either the Koskinen or Mike Smith deals somehow to be able to free themselves from that. So, looking at the Central, bigger surprise: St. Louis or Nashville?
Nashville. I St. Louis is, had all the ingredients. You just kept going, what's wrong? What's I'm putting all the same ingredients into my soup, but it doesn't taste the same as it did 3 years ago, right? But now it's working. That team, St. Louis, looks good right now. That looks like a good team, tough team to beat. If Binnington can get back to that level of his rookie year, they'll be tough. They'll be tough to get through. So you were thinking that team's could be good. Nashville, I thought that you just tear that thing down and you start over with that club. So hey, kudos to them. I thought that was a team that you just bottom out, get a good draft choice, try to unload some guys if you can, and then start it all over again. But no, to me, Tom, that's the bigger surprise.
Yeah, and remember, we were looking at Duchesne and Johansson going, you know, please, Seattle, take one of these guys in the expansion, for Nashville's sake. And
right.
But it helps if you get the guys with the big contracts to have big contract years.
Oh, of course. So that's why you pay them.
Right. Finally, hey, show up and produce, would you please? But I also think, and I mentioned it last Sunday on the Talking Puck TV show, but I think that Nashville trading Ryan Ellis allowed them to free themselves, much like St. Louis, in a way, had to figure out how to live without Alex Pietrangelo on defense. I think they were lost for a year without him. While everybody tried to figure out, what do we do now? We always just look down the bench at Pietrangelo, and he did it.
I also think that Tarasenko mess, too, was a problem. And, he wasn't playing, and then he was unhappy. So that's you got to have a guy, you got to have a goal scorer.
Winning solves a lot too.
Oh, makes you a lot happier.
It sure does.
But I think Nashville is a little bit of a surprise. Can they keep going? Well, that's, I don't know. Teams can, it's interesting when they gain confidence. I wouldn't think Anaheim was going to keep going, but they may just keep rolling in that division, especially. And if Nashville can keep going, it'll make that more interesting in the division. It'll make it a five-team race instead of just four teams jockeying for position.
Right.
So it's always more fun at the end when somebody's going to miss the playoffs. And from a fan standpoint, not if you're a fan of the team that gets knocked out, but just in sense of, we're not just watching. All right, we already know the four that are in. Now, where are you going to finish? This way, it's like, oh, boy. You know, every game takes on a little bit more meaning when one of those five teams are playing against the other four teams. I find it more interesting, don't you, Tom, when there are a playoff spot that is up for grabs rather than just positioning for the top four? Because we've got already some divisions that they're done. We already know. The four teams are there, barring some catastrophe. But, if Nashville can hang in there, that makes it a much more fun race to watch.
And that, to me, is the Atlantic, by the way. Tampa, Florida, Toronto, Boston. I know. Detroit is having a good season and is ahead of where we all thought they'd be, but let's face it.
They're not there yet with those teams, not with those other teams. No. But so that team, so they're set. That division's set. The unknown factor this year, and we talked about it on a previous podcast, is how COVID could affect things, not just, the health of the players, which obviously is the bottom line, but also scheduling, how many games you're going to have to play, the postponements. So we don't know. We look at it and go, okay, here are the teams that look like they're going to be in the playoffs. But I still think, Tom, that COVID could have a factor in determining who gets in and who doesn't.
Sure.
For a variety of reasons.
I agree. And it's not anything anybody can foresee, but at the end of the year, we may be doing a show where we're talking about, man, can you believe how so-and-so's season was torpedoed?
Something like that. Today is we're recording this. We're waiting to find out if Austin Matthews, whether or not he's going to have to, quarantine. So you get a few of those guys on a team that looks like they're going to make the playoffs, and you get a few of your superstars that are missing some time, and not only missing time, but you're sick. You're not, especially if you're really sick. That's a much longer time before you're going to be able to come back and be yourself again. and that could affect, you know, because now we're getting to that second half of the season, and you know, games become more and more important every time you play.
Sure. Absolutely. And so let's wrap this pod, Mike, with a look at the Metropolitan Division. Right now, it is Rangers, Washington, Carolina, Pittsburgh are in, and there's a gap between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. We talked about it, actually, on a previous podcast. We mentioned this, and if there is one team that has kind of had their season torpedoed by COVID, I think it is the Islanders in ways. But the Islanders are not a playoff team as it stands right now, barring a miracle run. Maybe this is our top four, but man, this Pittsburgh team, wow. We just, every year we keep waiting for them to drop. We keep saying they're going to age out. We keep saying, oh, this is, it's not going to happen for them. And somehow maybe the Mike Sullivan should have come into our NHL coaching discussion.
You know what? He should have. That's a guy that, you know what? And slap on the wrist to me that I didn't think of him. And he should be in the discussion for best coaches in the NHL. He's the best U.S. born coach, I think, right now in the NHL. You know, and Pittsburgh's going to get their goalie back now, too. He's just coming out of the COVID protocol. So they're just about all healthy and ready to go. So they're in a pretty good spot if they can stay healthy and stay out of the COVID situation and to really make a real good run and solidify their spot. For the Islanders, biggest disappointment in the NHL this year. That was a team that I thought looked to be on the brink of getting to the Stanley Cup, and biggest disappointment for a variety of reasons. We could do a whole podcast on the Islanders. At some point, we probably should. It really put a microscope to them. But by as badly as their season has gone, Tom, it has affected the entire division because they're giving teams wins instead of giving teams losses because of how bad their season has gone. So that has affected the entire division and has really set up that top four, because the Islanders should have been in the top five and in discussion of making the playoffs, but they're not going to, and losing. And you know how things go. Once you throw the towel in, that's more wins that are going to pile up for the other four teams that are going to make the playoffs.
Especially, and here's the other thing with the Islanders. It's the Lou Lamoriello factor. If he looks down that bench, down that roster sheet, and he decides that he's got his crosshairs on three guys and they're going to go at the trade deadline, this could be a very different Islanders team.
Oh, I think you're going to see. I think you'll see a change in net. Unfortunately, as you know, I'm a Varley fan, but this has not been his year. I think that's a guy. That's a very interesting guy to me at the trade deadline. I think the Islanders know that he's not their future, and I think that they could get a little something for him because he displayed last year. He can, when he's hot, he's as good as anybody in the league. And I bet, Tom, if they continue to really drop, that might be the goaltender that would be number one on everybody's list who's looking for a goalie at the trade deadline.
That could be a good one. And there's a lot of teams like it. But here's the thing. So, and I'll bring Edmonton back from the beginning of the podcast. Lamoriello is not a guy who says, well, I'll just eat that contract for you.
No, he does not when it comes to money. Mm-hmm. No. But Varley, I think I'm just going through the Rolodex of goalies who might be available come trade deadline. I don't know anybody who'd be better than him that would be available.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not looking at the money. I'm not looking at that. I'm just going talent wise, who's going to be the best goalie available at the trade deadline? And I think it'll be him.
Okay. Let me throw one out there for you who could make a short term run absolutely magical. One more year left on his deal. Does Marc-Andre Fleury get traded at the deadline?
Oh, that's a good one. Wow. That's good, Tom. Woo-wee. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you? Why would you keep him?
I'd take
Chicago?
A run. I'd take a run at it, especially if you could get assets for him. Chicago's out of it.
Yeah. 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 If you're Chicago, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you take a draft choice for him or something? Absolutely. That's a good point. You know what? I might put him ahead of Varley too, and in terms of going for a playoff run, if he continues to play pretty well,
right?
Because Varley has not had a good year.
No,
so
he does have to play his way back into a little higher echelon.
But the potential is there. But I am going to, for the first time ever, say that you're right and I'm wrong. Ooh. And
mark it down.
And I know it will never happen again. So January 4th, 2022.
Nice.
Yeah, Flurry would be the number one guy. Yeah, that's a good one. Good job.
Nice. Okay. Well, thanks. I like it. And you know what? We're going to talk a lot about trade deadline stuff as we get a little closer. We do like to stir the pot with that. But it's Mike, you said it on Sunday. You said, well, it's never too early to start thinking about it. I said, yes, it is. And then this week, as you know, we've gone along and through the way, and maybe it's not too early. Maybe.
No.
You know, I start looking at some situations with teams that are kind of really falling out, and perhaps we could start to see a little movement.
So. You know, I think for people who are listening right now, Sunday night, we should throw that out there. Who do they think will be the number one goalie available and desirable to come trade deadline?
I like it. There's there's a few that could be out there. So some fun situations. Yeah. And of course, things continue to change. I mean, every time you get something like a Ben Bishop retirement, well, not really retirement, but he's not going to play and he'll just sit on IR for the rest of his contract, essentially. It'll change as it goes along, but man, this is a really time to start thinking about teams that want to make a move or solidify a position in net. It's not too far away.
Nope. It's interesting how we came full circle because we started with talking about Edmonton and it always comes back to goaltending.
It does.
I like the perfect circle that we came back to end this with.
Yes.
So, who's available? Edmonton may miss the playoffs because they don't have a goaltender. Who's going to be the most available and desirable goaltender come trade deadline?
There you go.
There you go.
Great stuff. Great stuff. All right. So Mike Haynes and I, we are here on the podcast several times a week now that we're rolling into the new year 2022. Please like, follow, subscribe wherever you are. You can always reach out to us on Twitter. We love having conversations there. We also have a Talking Puck Discord, and I don't talk about the Discord enough, but we have different chat rooms in the Discord, one for pretty much every NHL team, and then other things like trade news and other things. Please join us on our Talking Puck Discord. That link is in my Twitter bio, which is at Callahan on Air. Mike is at Buster the Dog 33. Mike, a productive week of podcasts here. I can't wait for Sunday night's show. It's going to be fun.
Really? I don't have anything else to talk about, but I'll still be there.
Oh, there will be stuff.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. All right. Absolutely. All right. Please join us on Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, Talking Puck TV on Twitch and on YouTube. We'll talk to you next time, everybody.